This is the log of Magnus Carter. Space Force is on Mars, where we discovered a much-weathered step pyramid very similar to the one at Saqqara in Egypt. Whilst examining this pyramid, we were captured by a group of animal-headed humans. They resembled the portraits of gods to be found inside many ancient Egyptian tombs. In spite of our new home being an exact replica of a royal mausoleum, we were treated with hospitality by our captors, the Kemetians. Then we were taken before the great god Re, called Natum. Upon our return to our quarters, two of the high priests at the court announced that they were the bearers of joyful news.
You are to be priest of Re, whose eye is the sun. You are all to be honored and given new names.
But what
you
if
are
we can...
to be appointed high officials in the King God's court and serve by his side as lords of the great sun boat.
What about our release?
Yes, release?
Back to our sun boat.
There is no release.
What?
No servant of the God King Re can ever be released.
Never?
You mean he expects us all to serve to the death?
Unto death and beyond.
Space Force, an intergalactic adventure by Charles Chilton, starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nicky Henson, and Tony Osoba. Episode 4, A Test of Endurance.
We're prisoners. You can't do that to us.
The God King needs your help.
Help? But what help can we give him?
The sun boat. You must make it fly again.
It must bear him to the place of truth.
Oh? Where's that?
To the west, below the setting sun.
That could be anywhere.
The netherworld, the realm of the dead.
And the king wants to go there?
It is his holy right and privilege. And you must assist him.
Me?
You are the lord of the sky. You are blessed with knowledge of the great magic contained in the sunstone.
I'm an engineer. I only recognize its power. I don't understand it.
Ludric.
What?
You must try and help them. It may be our only chance of survival.
But I'm not sure that I can. That boat I saw down on Earth at Saqqara. Maryanka wanted me to get that into working order, but I couldn't.
That doesn't mean it couldn't have been repaired.
I know, but I don't...
You must do your best.
I see. All right.
Maryanka, this sunboat you want Ludric to look at, where is it?
I am to take you there.
Very well. But I shall accompany him.
As you desire, my lord.
We seem to have been walking for hours.
It's much further than down on Earth. The corridor from under the pyramid there was only a couple of miles long.
Well, at least it's an interesting walk. The paintings, the tiles, and also beautifully lit.
Where does the light come from?
From high up on a wall near the roof.
Yes, but what's its source? How's it created?
That's what I'd like to know. Ah. Well, looks as though we're arriving somewhere at last. A door.
That's it.
What?
That door. Exactly like the one that led to the boat grave at Saqqara.
Please pass through.
What a magnificent place. Look at the roof. It's beautiful.
A wonderful night sky.
Yes, but not the Martian sky. The constellations are those we see on Earth.
And there's the boat.
No craft that big ever sailed the ancient Nile.
This is no river boat. It is for sailing among the stars.
But it doesn't function.
No.
You would like to go aboard now?
Yes. Where's the entrance?
Along here, by the God King's cubby.
Come on, Audrey.
If you need help, call on the peasants. They are here to serve you.
I can't think how.
They are strong. They will fetch and carry lift things.
Good. Well, if we need anything like that, I'll call you.
Thank you, my lord.
Where do we go now?
Into the cabin. Door should open.
Good lord. A sarcophagus.
It looks like one, but inside will be the power pack.
How'd you get at it?
On Earth, this end opened.
Well, there's nothing there. Just a square block of, well, I don't know what it is.
Well, somewhere in there is the clue to the magic that Ray called Natum keeps on about.
You think you can find it?
Most unlikely, but I'll try. We'll start by examining every inch of this insulating block.
Where are you, Ludwig?
I'm still here. I think I found something.
Oh, what?
Could you pass me the big grips? Oh, yeah. Thanks. Up there.
What? Hey! Ludwig, I'm taking out! Come on, do something, man!
Get there!
God!
Well, I found it.
Are you all right?
Oh, I think so. It started to get unbearably hot in just a few seconds.
What was it you found?
Oh, something very simple. A broken metal rod. Oh, it must connect to a control somewhere in the stern. I'd like to go and find it.
Well, come on.
It's connected to the steerboard.
You mean a simple steerboard like this controls a flying ship?
Seems like it. Push that one over. That's it. Ah, now that would keep the rod in the off position. You hold it there while I go back and reconnect it. But don't move it, or you'll start the whole thing up again and I'll be roasted alive.
Right. You fixed it?
Yes. Now both these steerboards are connected to the power pack. I'd better just test it. Push yours over. Gently.
Right. Oh, we're off again.
Shut it down.
Right.
Good Lord. Did you see the light from the ship's hull as we took off?
I couldn't miss it.
My Lord, it flies! It flies!
All it's done is rise up 2 feet from the ground. In any case, there's nowhere for it to fly to. You can't go far in an underground grave.
Naturally. The time has come to open up the sky. I have given orders. Quick, into the cabin.
Why?
The sky is about to split asunder.
But
we shall move out into the desert whose sand is red and whose atmosphere it is poisonous to breathe.
What about you? How do you breathe?
With this...
an animal mask?
I donthe mask of Seth.
Those animal masks are space helmets.
Into the cabin, quick!
Come on, Ludwig.
The roof, it's opening.
Look, the real sky.
Yeah.
The stars, galaxies, it's all there.
Where did Mariyanka go?
To the stern. He must be going to pilot the ship. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
Here, hold on. Did you ever feel anything so unstable?
Never. All my life.
And then the heavens opened and up we rose straight out of the ground. It must have looked like a fiery chariot straight from hell.
Except it was a boat.
Bigger than the one we saw at Saqqara?
10 times bigger.
How's it controlled?
Very simply, by the steerboards in the stern.
Good Lord.
One of the blades appears to open and close an iris in the bottom of the hull. The wider it gets, the more power the ship gains, and the higher and faster she goes.
The other steerboard controls direction. It's just like steering a boat through water.
And with such a small area devoted to the motive power, it must be able to carry 100 passengers at least.
Where do they all go?
Below deck. There are beds, chairs, tables. A regular home from home.
Exactly where is the grave of this boat located?
About 3.5 miles west of the pyramid. It took us nearly an hour to walk there.
Like the boat grave on Earth.
It's strange how everything is duplicated.
Except everything seems much more ancient here.
Like the ship, you mean?
Yes. I think that's the main reason why it couldn't fly. It's worn out.
why don't they maintain it properly?
I don't think they can. After all, a simple fracture of a control rod went undetected. Huh. If they couldn't mend that, what hope had they of maintaining a motor that even Lodrick doesn't understand?
They constantly refer to it as magic.
No scientific builder of spaceboats would do that.
You don't think they built it, then?
No.
Well, then who did?
I have no idea. But before we leave Mars, I aim to find out.
The king was so pleased with the news that the sunboat had flown, he immediately called a special audience and promoted all members of Space Force to the highest official positions that law and custom would allow. Amid a great deal of pomp and in the presence of all the court, Saxon was raised from a commoner to a high-ranking priest. In order to receive the honor, which Merianka and Nofret advised him not to refuse, he reluctantly allowed his head to be shaved. Then the king arose and spoke.
Lord of the solar mark of gleaming gold, the right eye of the Lord of Heaven, priest of Horus the Falcon called Rey, you shall stand on the right hand of the god king Rey called Nahum, and everyone shall call you Lord.
There was a loud cry and a clash of musical instruments as Saxon was handed his most significant badge of office, a falcon head. It was to be worn at religious and ceremonial functions. It also served as a breathing mask, should he venture out onto the Cometian or Martian surface. Having been, as you might say, ordained, Saxon took his place at the king's right hand while he ceremoniously promoted Lodrick to a somewhat lesser but nonetheless exalted rank.
You are keeper of the sacred sarcophagus, conserver and preserver of the magic sunstone which lies within, and you shall be called Son of Beryl, whose task it is to drive away the shadows of darkness from the morning sky.
Lodrick's animal mask was the head of a phoenix. He put it on and took his place below the throne. Then came my turn.
You shall be called the Son of Thoth, Lord of the Moons, the Reckoner of the Years, the Scribe of Re, the Protector of Osiris, the Keeper of all Records.
Which was indeed very similar to my position aboard Space Force. Chipper was appointed my bearer. His task was to carry my writings to the God King for him to read, and then to the library, situated in the depths below the pyramid. Chipper was delighted with his newly appointed position until he received his mask.
A baboon? Why should my mask be a baboon?
The baboon is sacred.
Huh?
The patron of the scribes, the god of learning, and the son of Hom, lord of the young moon. When the moon is full, his face looks down upon us.
That's not a baboon, that's a man.
That's the Earth's moon, Chipper. Nofret is talking about a Cometian moon.
Which one? There are two.
Next full moon, why not look? The one with the baboon's face will be yours.
Oh, very funny.
The talk about moons and baboons took place some hours after the initiation ceremony when we had returned to our quarters. Nofret had called to tell us that now we enjoyed such high rank and privileges at court, there were certain duties we were obliged to carry out.
What kind of duties?
You must officiate at the King's Jubilee, a most important celebration.
What's he celebrating?
60 years of continuous and loving rule over the two lands.
Two?
The two Kemets, upper and lower.
Oh, there's another, besides the one we're on?
Yes.
Where?
The one you inhabit.
The Earth?
We claim to rule only part of it. The part you called Egypt, known to us as Upper Kemet. This is Lower Kemet.
Why do you call Earth upper?
It is nearer the sun, which we worship.
I see. Tell us about this jubilee.
After the king has reigned 30 years, he celebrates his achievement. He also undergoes many tasks to prove his virility and his ability to remain king.
What kind of tasks?
Running, dancing, and fighting. They take place on separate days. He must accomplish them all if he is to continue his reign as king.
And what if he doesn't?
Then he will be put to death.
Put to death?
And a new king elected.
I'm glad to hear democracy still lives.
You say Naoton has reigned 60 years?
Yes.
How old was he when he came to the throne?
He was a young man.
By now, he must be quite an old one.
Kemetian kings seldom live so long.
I'm not surprised. But what about our part in this? What are we expected to do?
There are many rituals to be learned. Many religious duties to be performed.
We don't know how.
The king will instruct you.
Are we to go to him?
Oh, no. No one must look upon him until the first day of celebration. He will send you all instructions by letter.
I see.
And you, son of Thoth, called Magnus, will translate them.
I'm not sure that I can.
With the help of Mariankha.
Ah, yes.
If you send your messenger to the king's apartment, the first letter of instruction is waiting.
Did you hear that, Chipper?
Yeah, old monkey chops at your service.
Then run along, that's a good chap.
Run along, I like that. The king's apartments are a good mile from here.
Think of all the exercise you'll be getting.
Who rattled your hatch?
Pity these Kemetians haven't invented the wheel. You could have gone on your bike.
Oh, my aching ribs.
What are you so busy on, Chipper?
This messenger Lark's got out of hand. Twice I've been down to the king's apartments today, only to find there was nothing to pick up.
So what are you doing?
Intercom.
What?
I've taken the intercom out of my suit and Lodric's, and I'm going to fix up a two-way communication between here and the palace.
Oh.
Then whenever there's anything to collect, the palace doorkeeper can give me a call.
Very ingenious, but you've forgotten something.
What?
The batteries. Unless they're frequently recharged by exposing the solar cells to the rays of the sun, they'll run down.
I know that. At least I'll get a respite from running a marathon every couple of hours and finding nothing at the end of it. Ah, done it. Hey, isn't science wonderful? Hello, Sekhmet, I'm here. Thank you, Sekhmet. Be right down.
Didn't sound as though there was much power in those batteries.
They need cooking in the sunshine.
Are you going to do that? We're not allowed outside. They think we might try to escape.
Well, of course we would. Give me half a chance.
Shh.
What's up?
Sekhmet, he can hear.
Oh, hello, Sekhmet. Can you hear me?
Speak, my lord. Sekhmet is listening.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Another one.
Thank you, Chipper. As soon as Mariankha gets here, I'll start on it. You did call him.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
Sekhmet gave it to me. Present from the king.
The king?
Yeah. Sees he's heard about my rigging up the intercom. He's so knocked out by my ingenuity that when he heard I needed to expose the batteries to the sunlight, he decided to send me some.
What? Sunlight?
Yeah. In here.
Oh, that's an anchor. The cross of life and eternity.
Sekhmet says the sun's inside. You open this.
Look out!
Oh, stop! Stop!
Chipper,
he's blinded himself!
Chipper! Chipper! How are you, Chipper?
I feel all right, but I can't see.
It'll pass off, I'm sure it will.
How long has it been now?
Nearly 3 hours. But you received the full impact of that beam.
What happened?
That anchor you opened. That's what the Kemetians used to blind us.
Do we think it must contain a stone that emits a powerful light which is as strong as the sun itself?
A sort of sunstone.
Oh. Now, you just lie still and keep your eyes closed.
This is a bit of luck.
Chipper blinded, and you call it luck?
It could be. Just think. Chipper will be okay soon. The sunstone only blinds people briefly.
What of it?
Well, don't you see? It's a most effective, almost peaceful weapon. We've got one.
You want to use it?
If necessary. It could help us escape from here and back to the ship.
But the ship is outside. We'd never make it without spacesuits.
We don't need them. We have the animal masks. They'll enable us to breathe, even in the Martian atmosphere.
Of course.
All we need is careful planning and the will. Now, this jubilee, this coronation festival, the celebration of the unity of the two worlds, whatever it is,
I understand it takes place in the open, up on the surface in what Marianka calls the Sedfest complex. Isn't that right, Magnus?
It's a large courtyard built specially for the festival, where the king performs all his virility tests.
Well, they go on for some days. Now, we'll be able to study the layout of the courtyard and its relationship to the pyramid. We'll have plenty of time in which to plan an escape. I gather very few people watch these kingly tests.
Only priests and the highest court officials, which includes us.
That's it, then. On the day the king proves his virility, we'll prove ours. We'll be up and away before you can say Horus.
Within a few hours, Chipper was fully recovered. Meanwhile, Lodrick carefully assessed the potential of the sunstone. He played the beam onto the rundown intercom batteries, and within seconds, they were completely charged and usable. Opening the anchor, just the smallest possible chink filled the room with enough light for all to read by.
The power of this tiny stone is incredible. It's only the size of a pinhead.
Extraordinary.
Wait a minute. The cavity in which it's kept is about an inch across.
Well?
Well, I think that must have been the size of the stone when it was first put in there.
So it's reduced in size.
How long do you think it's taken?
It probably loses a few atoms every time the glass is opened.
Could have taken hundreds of years.
Well, in case we're wrong, don't use it. Unless you have to, keep it for emergencies only. We need it for our escape.
The first day of Jubilee arrived. We entered the Sedfest area via a hall of columns and a mortuary chapel. After long incantations and ceremonies involving incense and the spreading of sand, we passed out into the bright sunshine of the courtyard itself. It was empty but for two horseshoe-shaped structures, one at each end of the courtyard, and a line of false fronts of buildings which were probably meant to be mortuary chapels. At the far end was a throne of stone. Seated on it was a small, thin man, enclosed in a tight-fitting wrap and a small red hat or crown. We took our places, wearing our masks, and lined up on either side of the courtyard, facing inwards. There was no sound. Saxon, who was only a foot or two from me, whispered,
"He's so frail. He must be very old. When do the tests begin?" As soon as Marianka gives the signal. There. Now.
Marianka, who held a scepter high above his head, had lowered it. Immediately, the frail figure on the throne sprang to life. He leapt to the ground, his cloak falling from him, and then, stark naked but for his hawk head and crown, began to run as fast as his legs could take him. He ran round the perimeter of the courtyard four times, and then, exhausted almost to the point of collapse, returned to where he had begun. He picked up the wrap from the ground, put it round his shoulders, and slumped back onto his throne. We returned underground. The peasants knew, by the psalms the priest chanted, that the first day's virility test had been passed. They danced and sang, drank deeply, and began to eye the handmaidens. We returned in stately formality to our quarters.
That poor old bloke forced to run around that courtyard like he was an Olympic champion.
He easily could have been.
Even so, it's a grueling test to put an old man to. How he managed so well amazes me.
He was running for his life. If he fails, he dies.
What does he have to do tomorrow?
The dance. A ritual dance, lasting hours, apparently.
Do you think he'll last out?
Oh, yes.
And what's the final test?
The fight. He's attacked by four spearmen at once, all approaching him from the four cardinal points of the compass.
And that's when all the priests gather at the far end?
Yes.
Then that's the day we make a run for it.
How?
The courtyard runs along a north-south line. That means the land explorer and the solar mobiles are on the other side of the wall behind us. It's partly in ruins and easy to scale. Now, while the king's fighting and the priests are watching, we hop over the wall, pick up the transport and make for the ship.
Great. Good plan, sir. But what if they come after us?
I'm banking on their thinking their religious ceremony is too important. But if they follow, we give them a blinding flash of the anchor and run harder.
The next day, we attended the dance test. While he danced, the king carried a heavy stone mace and a long, heavy scepter of solid gold. The sun rose, and the heat welled up from the red sand floor. The sweat poured off the old man's back. As he passed close to me during one of his wildest gyrations, I could hear him gasping for breath inside his mask. He staggered, made an effort to dance on, and staggered again. Nobody moved. No helping hand was offered. No word of encouragement. Bartom gave a violent twist. His knees crumbled as he fell to the red dust. It clung to his sweating body the color of blood. He rolled onto his back, his hawk head staring glassily at the sky, his chest heaving violently. Saxon made to go forward, but he was stopped by Maryanka. The sun rose higher, and hours passed. It had begun to dip towards the horizon before Maryanka decided that Natum was unable to rise. He was no longer king. We carried the god King Ray, called Natum, back to the boat grave. He was still breathing. Once underground, he was handed over to the servants of the bedchamber, who took him to his quarters and placed him on the royal bed. The moment the peasants heard that the king had failed on only the second test, they ceased celebrating and shrank back to their own quarters. So did the musicians, bearers, and handmaidens. We decided that quarters was the best place for us, too.
Well, so much for our escape tomorrow.
Forget the escape. What about the king?
What about him?
He has failed the test.
I'm not surprised at his age.
Remember what we were told? The inevitable consequence of failure is death.
That's right. Nofret told us.
But that's not all. When he elevated us to high-ranking court officials, we swore an oath.
Of course.
We swore that we would serve him as long as he lived, in this world and the next.
Hey?
When he dies, I think we will share his fate.
Oh, no.
Well, he's not dead yet, so let's turn our minds to escaping from here.
Someone coming. Oh, my friend.
I bring joyful news.
Yes?
The king has departed this world.
Already?
You are to travel with him to the Golden Land.
In that episode of Space Force, Saxon was played by Barry Foster, Magnus by Nigel Stock, Chipper by Nicky Henson, and Loderick by Tony Osoba, with Wendy Murray, Willoughby Goddard, and Bernard Brown. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.